You know, tonight I just want to share with you, I feel like the Lord is just trying to tell us how much He loves us and how He's provided everything that we'll ever need. He intends for our life to be supernatural. I often say that if your life isn't supernatural, it's superficial. And some people take that as a criticism or a put down, but it's not intended to be that way. God never intended for any of us to just exist. He created us with a purpose, every single person in here. You know, I was just at a service on Sunday night. I went down into the Springs and I heard Muhammad Faridi talk about he was raised in Iran and was a terrorist, part of the Iranian National Guard or whatever they call that, and how God just totally turned his life around. And now the man is just awesome what God's doing through him. I heard Victor Marx talk about he was sexually abused and beaten. Just, he's a mean guy. He goes into places and rescues people that have been kidnapped, and is just phenomenal what Victor does. I heard a woman that was trying to become a man and had both breasts cut off and a complete hysterectomy before she realized that that wasn't what she needed, and all of the things that they went through. And yet every one of those came to a place of surrender to the Lord, and now their life is just awesome. I mean, they are impacting thousands of people. This lady that tried to become a man has now married and just living a great life and using her testimony to help people. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. And I know that there are some people in here that you're just discounting what I'm saying and thinking, you don't know where I've come from. What I'm saying is, you don't know the power of God. If you have lost a vision for God doing something special in you, He loves you. God has a plan for you that is greater than anything you could ever come up with on your own. You know, when we were singing that song about I Surrender All, I leaned over to Pastor Dwayne and told him, I remember when I was a little kid in the Baptist church, we would sing that nearly every invitation of every service. And it always bothered me because I was taught that if you surrender yourself to God, He's going to do something bad. He's going to ask things of you that you would hate, that He'll send you to the darkest corner of Africa to live in a grass hut or something like that. And it bothered me. It scared me to think about surrendering to the Lord. But I'm telling you that that's really the only way that you can ever find the complete happiness and joy that God wants you to have. God's plans for you are better than your plans for yourself. And I commend you all for coming here, taking the time to come here. You're probably the cream of the crop, people that dedicate time to come and just sit and seek the Lord. And yet I know that there's still people here that haven't completely just surrendered everything. And there's multiple reasons for it. But man, whatever those reasons are, they aren't good reasons. I'm telling you, the best life you will ever live is to be completely surrendered to the Lord. And again, I want to go back to the fact that God has a perfect plan for every person. And it's better than what you are thinking for yourself. It's better than anything you could ever plan. I don't care what level of success you've obtained, God's plans for you are better than your plans for yourself. You know, a passage of scripture that's become relatively popular, people quote it often, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The NIV says a hope and a future, and all of that's good, but I like that expected end, because there are promises in the Word of God that, like Moses, he was 120 years old and his natural force wasn't abated, nor his eyesight dim. Did you know that that's one of the expected ends that the Word of God promises? That if that worked for Moses, it says that God's no respecter of persons. If he was 120 years old and the day that he died, he climbed a mountain, Mount Nebo, and went up and died. You can be 120 years old and still able to climb a mountain. You can still not have poor eyesight. There are so many scriptures about, you know, that he heals all of our diseases. I like that, where it says that you have an expected end. Now, hoping a future is good too, but man, I am expecting to go out with a shout and to be healthy. And God's got a plan for you. If you are, you know, have heart disease in your family or all these other things that people talk about, They think that, well, it's genetic and this runs in the family, and they kind of expect to get to be a certain way the older that they get. You don't have to live by that standard. If you commit yourself to God and to the Word of God again, He promised you that you, His plans for you are good. They're thoughts not of evil, but of peace, to give you an expected end, to give you the end that is prophesied in the Word of God. Man, we should be getting stronger instead of weaker. But it all comes down to us exalting God, exalting His Word. He has a plan for every one of us, but He doesn't force it on anyone. I think it's Billy that said today that nobody floats to the top of the mountain. Is that the way you said it? Drifts to the top of the mountain. Man, it takes effort to climb to the mountain. It takes effort to take what God has promised us in the Word of God and to pursue it. And again, you're the ones that are pursuing it by coming into this conference, but it doesn't need to be just a weekend thing. It needs to be a lifestyle, that this is something that you are doing on a constant basis. And tonight, I'm just wanting to try and encourage you that God has a supernatural plan for every one of you. It ought to be that when somebody asks you how you're doing, that there ought not to be any explanation for what's happening in your life outside of God. And just as Billy was talking about today, there is a supernatural part and there's a natural part, and we have to cooperate. And so, yes, in a way, you can say that what has happened in my life and the things that are doing now, that I had something to do with it, but nobody will give me credit 100% for everything that's happened. It is supernatural. Man, I used to be so poor I couldn't pay attention. Jamie and I would go weeks at a time without food, and now we have, I think, worldwide $140 million is our annual budget and things like this. And there is just no explanation for what's happening in my life outside of the Lord. To see my son raised from the dead after being in a morgue for 4 hours, pronounced dead in a freezer, stripped naked with a toe tag on. And they called us and we just prayed and he sat up and he's alive. And he's the one that puts up the screen and transport this and does these things around here. And he's one of the few people on the earth that can say that his daughter was born a year after he died. There's no explanation for that. If you can look at your life and say, I am a self-made man, that I did everything, I can promise you, you are missing what God's will for your life is. God has called every one of us to do something that is beyond ourself, so that you will have to depend upon Him. And again, the average mindset of people, and even when people get born again, many times they're just getting saved so that they won't go to hell, but then they're just trying to maintain and survive until we go to heaven. And that's when salvation is going to start for many people. That's a mindset of many people who claim to be Christians. And heaven's going to be a blast. Man, in the sweet by and by is going to be awesome, but you can have steak on the plate while you wait. You don't have to wait until just eternity. You should be living an abundant life, and we ought to be living a life that when people ask, how do you do this? The only answer ought to be that it's God in your life. I remember having some Jehovah Witnesses come to our house when I was in Seagoville, Texas. And man, they just were saying all kinds of things. And I was talking about, man, God is my source. And they said, how? And I pointed to everything. There wasn't a thing in our house, any of our furniture. Everything was supernatural the way that God supplied it. I told them about how I was miraculously healed of an incurable disease. And I just started pointing out all of these things. And man, they hit the door running. That's the way it ought to be. We ought to be able to give God the credit. And again, I'm not saying this to discourage anybody, but to encourage you that God has an awesome plan for you that is greater than anything you've ever experienced. You know, I'm often criticized for preaching on prosperity and encouraging people to prosper. And I've had people come up and say, look, I'm not believing God for anymore. I don't have much, but you know, God has taken care of me and I'm content. And I'm just not going to believe for anymore. I believe that that's selfish. I believe it's greedy for me to want to prosper and things like that. And you know what I do is turn it around and I say, no, you're the one who's greedy because you think prosperity is only for you. And so if you get your needs taken care of and if you are secure, well, then forget the rest of the world. That's a selfish attitude. True prosperity is not just so that you can have more. It's so that you can be a bigger blessing. If you got all of your needs met, well, then quit thinking about just yourself and start reaching out and prospering so that you can have more to be able to give and to be a blessing to people. I know that there's many of you here that God has blessed you to a degree that maybe you're secure and everything's okay, but you're content. We should never be content. Well, let me rephrase that. We should be content, but we shouldn't be complacent. We shouldn't be just satisfied where we are. I was talking to some people today and they were talking about how that God had blessed them and that things were going so good. And I said, so what are you believing for? And they were kind of, taken back like, well, really nothing. Everything's good. And I said, that's not God. I guarantee you, if God has a goal for you and if you reach that goal, you need to get another goal. You need to always be stretching for something. God has things that He's wanting to accomplish through every one of us. And you need to have a vision that's bigger than you. You need to have something that is way, way, way beyond you. And again, I'm not saying this to condemn anybody, but I'm saying that this is God's plan for you. God has a plan for every single person here that is beyond yourself. That it takes God's supernatural ability to accomplish it. You know, let me share with you. I'm going to go somewhere else, but I want to share this. Out of Psalms 139 in verse 14, I've got the NIV here on my phone someplace. I'm not really good at doing this stuff. But here in Psalms 139, verse 16, right after it says that we're all fearfully and wonderfully made, in verse 16 it says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. That is an amazing statement. You know, if you really understand what the Word of God says, this answers the question about abortion and people talking about it's my body, it's my choice. No, from the moment of conception, this says that, matter of fact, if you were to take this in the King James, let me see if I can go back to my King James version right here. It says, thine eyes did see my substance being yet unperfect. Did you know if you look the word unperfect up right there in the Hebrew, it literally is the word embryo. When you were an embryo, when you were still in your mother's womb, God saw you when you were unperfect, and He wrote in His book what every day of your life was supposed to be. Every day, not just overall view of your whole life, but every single day of your life. God has a plan. Now, He doesn't force that plan upon anybody. You got to take this and put it in its proper balance. He gave you a free choice. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 says, behold, I call heaven and earth to record against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live. God gave you the choice, but He has a plan for your life. He actually has written in a book in heaven. That's what this is saying. That He wrote every day of your life what it was supposed to be like. Did you know God had it written, but while you were still in your mother's womb, that He wanted you to come to this conference, that He had something for you. And you're the ones that cooperated with it. There's probably a lot of other people that was also God's will for them, but they didn't cooperate. He doesn't force His will upon you, but man, it ought to encourage you to know that God has a specific plan for your life. I've talked to many, many people that felt like that they were a mistake. Their parents didn't want them. Matter of fact, I was just talking to a person last week who, when the father found out that the mother was pregnant, he says, that's not my child, and he left them and was gone for 20-something years before they reconnected, and this person just grew up feeling totally rejected and like nobody wanted me. It doesn't matter whether your parents knew you were coming or not. You know, my dad, he told me that they were going to name me Caboose because they wanted me to be the end of all this. That doesn't make you feel real wanted. But anyway, regardless of whether, you know, even people say, well, what happens if somebody was conceived out of rape or out of incest? Certainly you ought to allow abortion for something like that. Well, that's a terrible situation, and I'm not saying that that doesn't pose a hardship and all these kind of things. But man, the child that is conceived didn't have anything wrong. It's wrong. It's murder to kill that child. These verses are saying that even when you were in your mother's womb, God knit you together in the embryonic stage, and He had a plan written out for every life. You know, they've had 63 million children aborted in the United States since Roe versus Wade. And that doesn't include California and New York don't have to report all abortions. So I'm sure it's well over that. Did you know in, I think it was 2023 or 24, abortion was the number one cause of death in the world? Did you know that the Biden administration tied a lot of their aid that they were giving, this U.S. aid to nations based on abortion, that if they didn't allow abortion, they would withdraw all of this aid from them? The United States has pushed abortion all over the world to where it's now the leading cause of death in the world. And yet every one of those children that was aborted, God knew them personally and had written in His book what their life was supposed to be like. You know, they had one of these Democrats come up talking about immigration and say something about all of these immigrants that we're sending back. They could have been the one that cured cancer or had this invention for this. And they were talking about that. And my thought was, what about the 63 million children that we've aborted? What were what God's plans to be done through them? And yet they're willing to allow homosexuals and gang members and rapists and murderers come in unfettered and stuff and talk about that we're turning them away, and yet they abort all of these children. That's just evil. That is pure, pure evil. So anyway, I digress. But the point I'm making is that God saw you when you were still in your mother's womb. You know, there's a passage of scripture over in Jeremiah chapter 1, and this is a passage that God spoke to me in January of 1974. And it's a long story. I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but I was struggling being in the ministry. And I was an introvert, and I was so afraid that I couldn't stand in front of people and minister. And I had volunteered to be the lay preacher in our Baptist church, about 300 and something people. And I had volunteered to do it. And man, after I did it, I was thinking, what have I done? And fear grabbed hold of me, and I was just panicking. And I knew that God had called me into the ministry, but I was an introvert. I couldn't even look at a person in the face and talk to them. And so I was really struggling with this. And it was right after Jamie and I got married. We got married October 27th, 1972. And in January of 1973, we had a little one-bedroom apartment in Dallas. And I went to bed, and back in those days, man, I could be asleep by the time my head hit the pillow. And I laid down, and I could not go to sleep. And I was sleepy, and I couldn't go to sleep. And I laid there for about 15 or 20 minutes, and finally I got up so that I wouldn't bother Jamie, and I went into our living room and just got to praying, God, what's happening? And I mean, the presence of God just manifested in that little apartment. And I spent 2 hours on my face in front of the Lord, afraid to open my eyes, afraid that I'd see the Lord, and I couldn't handle it. And I mean, I was just in the presence of the Lord. And finally I was saying, God, what's happening? And He spoke these verses to me. This was written to Jeremiah, but He spoke them to me. It's just as real as if I'd have heard an audible voice. And He said, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now again, this goes along with Psalms 139, verse 16. And this applies not only to me. This doesn't only apply to ministers. Boy, this is one of the terrible things that has happened, that somehow or another we put people that are in the ministry, laity and clergy, and we make a separation between them. Man, there shouldn't be any separation. If you aren't in full-time ministry, if you aren't standing on a stage and behind a pulpit, that doesn't mean that you aren't a minister. You are every bit as much a minister as I am. It's just you got a different place. You know, Colin Carr down here that's on my board of directors, he came and he and his wife April, man, just were transformed through the Bible college. And I remember, I don't remember all of the detail. Come up here, Colin, and tell this real quickly. He was debating about whether he should go into ministry full time or what. So tell him what happened.
You got to be instant in season and out with this guy right here. We had gotten radically transformed at Bible college, and we thought the only way to serve God was full time ministry. So we were ready to basically give it all up and leave business and go full time. And Andrew walked up to us and he said, in your mind, you're debating if you're going to go into full-time ministry or if you're going to stay in business, and the Lord's telling you it's not an either-or decision. You're going to stay in business, and it'll be a ministry to you, and you'll touch more lives in business than if you went into full-time ministry. And then you went on and said that you'll touch people through business that would never come into church, never come into ministry, and you said you'll end up doing more ministry through business than if you went into full-time paid ministry. And that's,
how many years ago was that?
That was 18 years.
And what's happened?
Well, we started a company shortly after Bible college and had tremendous success. We're now in all 50 states.
Do you mind telling how much it's produces gross?
Yeah, I mean, we'll do over $1 billion of transactional volume this year. Tens of millions of dollars of revenue will hit our books. And we have had the chance to radically transform hundreds of people's lives in our company. We have over 5,000 clients that we're doing work for right now, coast to coast. And because of the success that God's given us through business, I mean, I think we've probably ministered 40, 50 times so far this year as it is. And it's that gateway or that success of business is a dinner bell for people. You know, Jesus used miracles. He used healings as a dinner bell to people to get a chance to minister to their heart. And the Lord has opened doors for us to use business and finances, success, prosperity, service as a chance to impact and influence people.
I can guarantee you that Colin and April are every bit as much a minister as I am or anybody who's in full-time ministry. They're touching people that I will never touch. I don't care how much money I spend on doing anything. And it's the same for every one of us. So that's it.
Yeah,
thanks,
thank you,
brother.
Sir. Yeah, you bet.
You're awesome. But the point is that it's not just people that are called into full-time ministry that have a special purpose for them and that had something written in the book. God had something written in His book for every single one of your lives. And you know, I don't know if this group is typical. Again, you are kind of the cream of the crop, people that took time out to travel thousands of miles and come here. You may not be totally typical, but normally in my services, when I give an invitation, talk along these lines and say, how many people know for certain what God's will for your life is? You may not know the end results exactly, but you know the direction and you're headed in that direction. It's a progressive thing of learning, but you have direction from God and you know what God is calling you to do. And I'll say, how many people know that? And usually it's less than 20%. I will have typically 80% or more of people stand up and say they hope that what they're doing is pleasing to the Lord, but they're doing their thing. They're doing whatever life gave them to do, but they don't know for sure that it's God. It's my experience that you aren't going to accidentally fulfill God's will. It's like Billy was saying, you don't float or climb or drift to the top of the mountain. Man, you've got to know what God's will is and you've got to pursue it. And so I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but sometimes you got to terrorize people before you edify them. Sometimes you got to get people stirred up and dissatisfied with where they are before they'll ever change. And I'm just wanting you to know that God wants every one of you to be walking in the supernatural power of God. I remember a little group that I had in Lamar, Colorado, and it was just a Bible study with about 60 people or so, but there were seven women in that thing that were all sisters. And And anyway, they were just housewives. One of them ran an apartment complex. Another one, her husband worked in the Dairy Queen. And they were just normal people. But man, they got hold of the Word of God, and their mother died. And so they called all of the sisters together, and they went over to her house and prayed for her. And she rose up from the dead, walked 2 miles into town and went grocery shopping and drove a cart home. And the same day that she was raised from the dead, one of those sisters, her daughter pulled an 1100 cc motorcycle over, and it just squished her head, 1 year old. And she got that head and squished it back into the right shape and raised her from the dead. One of those daughters was just so poor that Jamie and I used to give them food. And yet I was telling them that God has given every one of us the ability to prosper. He gave us power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18. He doesn't give you wealth. He gives you power to get wealth. And you have to use it and start believing. And this woman just decided that she was going to break out of this poverty. And so one day she was cooking some clay to make for her children, because she didn't like the store-bought clay because it would stick to things and it was toxic. So she came up with her own recipe, and she was just praying as she was stirring this clay and saying, God, what can I do? What can I do to prosper and get us out of this poverty? And the Lord spoke to her and he said, take this clay and put it into these little cylinders, put dye in it, put it into a Ziploc bag, and go to these I don't know what you call them, but these little fairs that they sell things, and start selling it. Within a year, she had 89 people working for her. She became a multi-millionaire. And then she went on Shark Tank, and she took just a skateboard and took the skates off and put a bubble on the inside and used it for exercise. And she got on doing the twist, and she got on Shark Tank, and she said her next anyway, check that she gets could be as much as $1 billion. And this was just a woman that was starving to death. And Jamie and I had to help and give her some food. And this is just a housewife. She's not full-time in the ministry, and yet she's changing people's lives. Every one of you have something supernatural. There are people that he wants to touch through you that he'll never touch through me or through Billy or through Dwayne. There's people just like Colin. He's reaching people that I don't care if I was to spend $10 million a month on television and putting out things. They'll never hear me. He's reaching people that I'll never reach. Did you know if every man that is in this auditorium right now was to reach your full God-given potential and start walking in the power of God, so that not only were you free, but you were setting other people free everywhere you went. If just the people, I don't know how many people, but over 1,000 people, and if all of you went back and just started flowing in the power of God and doing what you're doing, we would see a revival that this world has never seen. But we depend upon people in a ministry, people on a platform, to be doing everything for us. The only way that the body of Christ is ever going to fulfill what God has called us to do is for every part of the body to start flowing in the power of God. Right. I believe that this is why God brought you here this week, is because he's wanting you to reach your full potential. And there's some of you that life has just dealt you some bad things, and you're feeling like, man, you're a zero, and how could God ever use you? You know, the worse you are, the more glory God gets out of it. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, God didn't choose many mighty men, not many noble, not all of these things. God chose the weak things of the world, base things of the world, things that are despised, things that are nothing, to bring to naught things that are. And it goes on to say the reason he did it was so that no flesh would glory in his presence. God is looking for people that are unqualified. He doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. And God has called every one of you. God has something planned for your life. And if you would submit to him and just pursue it and get to a place to where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I'm not going to live like this anymore. I am going to find out what God's purpose for my life is, and I'm going to live it. And then you pursue it against whatever obstacles come against you. I guarantee you, it would just transform your life, and you would transform other people. And again, there's many of you that just think, no, that's not me. Well, you may not ever be called to be on television or to travel the whole world, but again, in your world, you should be an absolute supernatural signpost for God. People ought to look at you and just see God written all over you. You need to walk in healing, not only for yourself, but so that you could minister healing to other people. You need to walk in joy and victory. You need to see God heal your marriage. You need to see hope in you so that you could be a blessing to other people. There's not a single person in here who God does not want to put you in a position of influencing and touching other people. I know that there's many of you that agree with that, but there's some of you in here that, again, you've just given that over. You're now whatever age, and you just feel like, how could God ever get me back on track after all the mess that I've made? You know, we use these little GPS things, and it doesn't matter how far off track you get, that thing can always plot a course back to where you're supposed to be. If a GPS can do that, I can guarantee you that God can do it. Man, I need to turn that phone off. It's getting hot. I'm not used to using my phone like Pastor Dwayne. But you know, Billy down here, he pastored three churches, I think it was. And then the Lord just kept leading him. It's step by step. And the Lord led him to leave these churches. And many of his friends thought that he backslid on God when he quit pastoring and got out of the ministry. And he went into real estate and started making money. And he did all of these other things. Did you know now God is using all of those things? And Billy and I have talked about it, that I believe God led Billy to do what he did and gain the experience in the business realm so that he could help me do what I'm doing. He's now managing hundreds of millions of dollars and doing things that I'm not qualified to do. And if Billy would have just stayed a pastor, I wouldn't have had access to him. He wouldn't be able to help me. You don't have to be in full-time ministry. He is in full-time ministry helping me. We've got 1,100 or 1,200 employees, and it doesn't matter if they're cleaning the toilets. Did you know that they are in the ministry? Our toilets need to be clean. We've had people actually come to these services before, and before the meetings even start, I had one guy come to me and he says, I'm already changed just going into the restrooms and seeing how clean everything is. And he said, the excellence in the way that you did things and everything is so nice. He says, this has changed my life. Did you know the people that direct the traffic in here? We've had people before talk about the people that are using the wands and directing the traffic, that man, they just are so happy that there's people that get blessed. You don't have to be the person behind the pulpit. Every one of us has something to contribute. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 says that God gave the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, the fivefold ministry. The next verse says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And the next verse says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the stature of the fullness of Christ, and that we aren't children anymore. And it goes on to say that we are compacted by that which every joint supplies. Did you know that there's a lot of things that aren't ever going to get done in the body of Christ until every joint begins to start supplying, until every person is doing their part? It doesn't matter if they're the ones cleaning the toilets, keeping the grounds looking good, cleaning up and doing things. Every single joint in the body of Christ needs to be supplying. That's the only way that the world is going to see the full manifestation of Jesus. Amen. There's not a single one of us that is the complete representation of Jesus. Nobody has a corner on God. None of us can totally represent God. It takes all of us collectively. We aren't going to, you know, a lot of the miracles that happened in the book of Acts happened because they were in one accord in one place. That's not talking about a Honda. That's talking about that they were in unity and stuff in one place. And that's where the power of God was released. And there's a lot of things that it takes a corporate anointing to see things happen. I really believe that a lot of the changes that we're seeing in our nation right now are happening because the body of Christ was just so perplexed, seeing the way that the world was going. The devil overplayed his hand and pushed things so far that, man, they were having drag queens come in, the kindergartners, and people finally got woke up through it. And it's the body of Christ standing up, not just one or two people. It's the body of Christ that's standing up. It takes all of us to make a difference. So I'm saying these things trying to say that God has a purpose for your life, and it's dependent upon you to find out what it is. Over in Ephesians chapter 5, I'm not sure I can quote all of this, so let me turn over here and read this. But in Ephesians, in chapter 5, it says in verse 17, "Wherefore be ye not unwise." Some of the translation says, "Don't be ignorant, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." That's a command. Some people think the will of the Lord, it's just hard to find this out. No, it's not. God has a plan for your life. It's not up to you to do your own thing and ask God to bless it. Did you know, once you know that you're in the center of God's will, you don't even have to ask for God's blessing. I used to go to a lot of churches. I'm now so busy doing things here that I don't travel much, but I would go into churches and often they would come and pray and get me in a back room and ask God to anoint me. And I wouldn't say anything. I'd try and be polite, but I would think to myself, man, if you don't think I'm anointed, why did you even ask me to come? You're waiting until 5 minutes before the first service starts and you're asking for the anointing to come? Did you know when you're doing what God called you to do, if He called you to do it, He would be unjust to call you to do something that's beyond yourself. I was an introvert. He would be unjust to call me to do something that is completely contrary to my natural tendency and not give me an anointing to be able to do it. I don't ever ask God to anoint me. We don't ever get back there and pray and beg for God to come. It's like Paul said. He says, "He that hath anointed us is God," out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He's already anointed us. When you are doing what God has called you to do, there's already a supernatural anointing on it, and you don't have to beg God to come and to perform something. If you're doing what He told you to do, there's automatically a blessing and an anointing on it. And yet so many people are doing their own thing and asking God to bless it. It just doesn't work that way. Did you know that there is a supernatural anointing on you to do what God has called you to do? And brothers, I'm saying this in love, but there are some of you that the reason you're frustrated and the reason that you it just seems like things aren't working is because you aren't doing what God has anointed you to do. This is one of the tricks of the devil. You know, there was a time in our ministry where we were so poor that we couldn't do anything. We could just barely get by. Now we have a cash flow that I could do all kinds of things if I wanted to. And I've learned that one of the things that I've got to do is stay in the lane that God has given me. And just because it's good doesn't mean it's God. You know, I have given hundreds of thousands of dollars to people that deal with those that are in the sex trade and help them. And that's a good thing, but that's not what God called me to do. And just because now we have some money, that doesn't mean that that's what God's anointed me to do. I have to stick with what God called me to do. I give a lot of money. We started 5 pregnancy centers that have actually brought the abortion rate in Colorado down, and the newspapers have recognized it. And I put hundreds of thousands of dollars into these abortion things. I give and support them, but that's not what God called me to do. There is a danger for you just doing something, and just because it's good doesn't mean it's God. You have to know what God has called you to do, and you have to stay in your lane. We've got Linus Lefevre here someplace. Where's Linus? Right back there. Linus is a guy that helped us start our Charis Bible College. He was our first director of that. And one of Linus's lines that... One of the things that I learned through Linus is he used to say that all God has to do to destroy your vision is to give you 2. That's called division. You need to have a single vision. Paul said this, "One thing I do." You got to find out what God has called you to do. And if you're one of those people, I told Mike and Carrie Pickett, the ones who are going to be taking over the ministry, I said, in a way, I pity you. Because I said, you're multi-talented. They can just do all kinds of things in their own strength and power. I said, one of my strengths is that I don't have any natural talents and abilities. And it just makes me dependent upon God. I said, I pity you that you can just do all of these things because it's easy for you to depend upon yourself. I have to depend upon God because I hadn't got any talents or abilities outside of the Lord. And you've got to get to where you find out what God has anointed you to do, and you do that, and you don't do your own thing and ask God to bless it. There is a supernatural satisfaction that comes with being directly in the center of God's will that you can't get when you're doing anything else. I don't care if you get recognition and awards and things like that. I got an award last night, but I was in this service. I wasn't able to be there. And so I sent some other people to receive the award from Todd White at his thing. And you can get awards and stuff, but is that what God called you to do? You got to stick with what God calls you to do. And when you're doing what God calls you to do, then man, there is a supernatural satisfaction that goes with that. Some of you have heard me tell this story before, but I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I had a partner there that had a business with about 30 people in the business. And every time I would go to Charlotte, he would bring all of his staff in and said, the clock is running, sit and listen to this guy as long as he wants to talk. And I would just preach to him. And we saw people born again, healed, a lot of great things happen. In 1 year, I ministered to his staff. And when I came out and was ready to leave, there was a woman, an Oriental woman, that was sitting at the reception desk. And she wasn't back with the rest of them. So I said, who are you? And she told me who she was. And she says, I'm the new kid on the block. And so they left me here to answer the phones while everybody was in the back. And she said, who are you? And I told her who I was, and she says, so what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a minister. And man, her eyes got big, and she said, for who? And I said, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And she says, you're the one. And I said, I'm the one what? And she says, I'm a Buddhist. And last night, she was going through all of her Buddhist things, whatever that was. And right in the middle of it, she just stopped. And she says, God, I know that you're real. But this can't be it. She says, who are you? And she said that she was praying and just saying, God, reveal yourself. And she said this ball of light came in front of her and it was pulsating. And she had an audible voice come to her and said, tomorrow I'll send you a man who'll tell you who I am. And she says, you're the man. And I said, I am the man. Amen. And I got to tell... I got to lead that lady into to the Lord. It was just awesome. She got gloriously saved. And did you know, I went out and I couldn't even start the car. It was hot in Charlotte and it was hot in that car. And yet I couldn't even start the car or do anything. I was just so overwhelmed thinking I was in the right place at the right time. I was in the center of the Lord's will. And there's just a satisfaction that comes with that, that you can't get doing your own thing. And brothers, I'm trying to get across that God has a supernatural plan, not just for me, not just for Dwayne, not just for Billy or Colin or a few people. God has a supernatural plan for every one of you. Every one of you. There's not an exception. God has never made a piece of junk. God has never made a failure. He's made a lot of people that may have had failure in their life. You can look at Peter. Man, you look at Peter and think he denied the Lord 3 times and even swore with a curse. And yet that didn't change God's plan for him. God still had a plan. It says in Romans chapter 11, verse 29, that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Regardless of how bad you've messed anything up, God has never changed what he wrote in his book. And he has an ability to take wherever you are and put you back on track and get you back to where he wants you to be. There are no exceptions to that. If he did that for Peter, did you realize that the Bible is written primarily by murderers? Have you all ever thought of that? Moses murdered an Egyptian. totally outside of God's will, and yet he wrote the first five books of the Bible and Psalms chapter 90. David is a man who murdered Bathsheba's husband trying to cover up his murder. And he's the one that wrote most of the Psalms, and 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 Kings is all written about David. And then Paul is the one who wrote 13 books of the 26 books in the New Testament, 14 if you count the book of Hebrews. And he was a person that murdered Christians. The Bible was written primarily by murderers. And yet many times people disqualify themselves. You don't understand what I've done and the failures that you've had. I guarantee you there's nobody in here who has done anything that has erased what God's purpose and plan for your life was. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And you just need to make a decision that I will do what God called me to do. But you can't do that until you find out what it is that God has called you to do. How many of you in here can say emphatically, without any reservations, this doesn't mean that you've arrived. None of us have completed everything. Nobody's arrived. You just leave. But if you don't know for sure, how many of you can say that I do not know for sure what God's purpose and plan for my life is? Would you just be honest enough to raise your hand? I don't know what percentage that would be, but that's at least 40%. 30, 40% of the people. There is no chance of you accidentally fulfilling it. It doesn't just sovereignly come to pass. God doesn't use you like a chess piece and God's will just automatically comes to pass. That's one of the most damaging doctrines in the body of Christ today, is this extreme sovereignty of God, that just whatever happens will happen. I just read a newsletter 2 days ago about a man that was saying all of the LA fires, that couldn't have happened if God didn't allow it. And that God did all this stuff. That's not true. God is not the one who's causing all the problems. He's not the one that makes people rapists and murderers and things. He's not the one that makes people depressed and discouraged. He's not the one that puts sickness on you and does things like that. And God is not the one who's just controlling your life. He gave you a choice. Again, I think I quoted that already, Deuteronomy 30:19, that I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live. God gave you the choice. He has a purpose for your life written down, but he gave you the choice of whether or not you will do it. And so what I'm feeling that the Lord is leading me to say tonight is that, first of all, just to encourage you that every one of you, God knows you personally. Even when you were in your mother's womb, he knew everything that would ever happen to you, and he set before you life and death. He's got a plan for your life. It's better than your plans for yourself. It's not thoughts of evil. It's to give you an expected end. God's plans for your life are awesome, but it's up to you to choose. You get to choose. There is no such thing as a self-made man or woman. You are either letting God mold you into his image and become the person that he wants you to be, or you are allowing this world to mold you into its form. That's what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That is saying that the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God comes to pass in your life as you are not conformed to the thinking of this world, but you get transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transform there is the Greek word metamorpho. It's a word we get metamorphosis from, about a caterpillar spinning a cocoon and then coming out a butterfly. You can have that kind of transformation if you just get into the Word of God and let the Word of God transform you. Nathaniel offered that book today, Effortless Change, and that's what that whole thing is about, is the Word of God is an incorruptible seed, and if you'll plant it in your heart, it will just automatically start bringing forth fruit in your life. Brother, Satan is trying to destroy us. He's trying to keep us from reaching our potential, because if we were to walk in the fullness of the power of God, it is going to hurt his kingdom big time. And so out of self-defense, self-preservation, he is trying to destroy your life so that you won't reach your potential. But in is the same way and even more than what Satan is fighting against you, God is for every one of you. God wants you to reach your full potential more than you want to reach your full potential. But he needs your cooperation. God is not going to force his will in your life. If you pursue it, you'll get it. If you don't, you won't. You got to pursue the things of God. And again, that's why you're here, so I'm complimenting you, but it needs to be more than just a one-time deal. You need to go home with a total commitment that, God, I believe you've got a purpose for my life that's greater than what I've experienced, and I'm not going to stop until I accept it, until I see it. And it's not a one-time thing. It's the verse right in front of that, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, says you have to be a living sacrifice. The problem with a living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar. So this is talking about a living sacrifice. You have to just constantly make this sacrifice. At the beginning of this service, I felt like the Lord was saying that there's people that hadn't fully surrendered. And so we had a lot of people respond to that and make a surrender. But it's not a one-time deal. You may start one time, but it's a continual process. And you have to just learn how to live in the presence of God. And the thing that does that for me is understanding how much God loves me. I've spent all of my time tonight talking about God has a purpose for you and things like that. But the thing that keeps me focused on the Lord and following after it and keeps me stirred up is just to understand how much God loves me. Man, if you don't have a revelation of God's love for you, you need that. And it came to me when I was at my very worst, when I had seen how ungodly I was and how I was a religious Pharisee and that I was a stink in the nostril of God. There's some of you that are offended by things like that. You would never say anything like that about yourself. That's because you're comparing yourself with other people. But if you ever see the glory of God, people that are just thinking that you are awesome and that you are God's gift to mankind, you have never seen the glory of God. If you ever see the glory of God, I guarantee you, it will put you into your place. Pastor Dwayne's been teaching on that in church about man having a fear of God, a reverence of God. And it's true that God loves us, and he said that we can call him Abba Father. That's an affectionate term, like daddy. And all of those things are true, and what a great honor to be called a child of God. We sang about that tonight. That's great. And I agree with all of those things. But I can guarantee you, when we go to heaven and we see the Lord, none of you are going to say, high five. You're going to fall on your face when you see the glory of God. And anybody who has not come to the end of themselves, it's because you've never seen the glory of God. And men, this is one of the negative sides of us having this take charge type of thing and this type of personality that Dwayne was talking about, having valor and courage. All of those things are true, but it needs to be under the lordship of Jesus. And we often get to thinking that it's us that is awesome. And look what I've done. You know, we brought in the mayor of Woodland Park back when this building was still under construction, and we stood up here on the roof, and you could still see in here because the roof wasn't on yet, and we were looking around, and this mayor of Woodland Park looked at me and he says, man, you must be so proud. And I said, pride is not the right word. I said, that would imply that I did it. I said, I haven't done this. All God told me what he wanted done, and I just cooperated with him. But it's God. When we started this process, I didn't have two pennies to rub together. And we now have, what is it, $150 million worth of buildings and property that are debt free. We got that in 9.5 years and I had nothing. There's no way you can attribute that to me. Now, I cooperated, but man, it's God. You need to get to a place to where you recognize that it's not you that's doing things. It's God's power, but you're the one that gets to choose whether he's going to have control or whether the devil's going to have control. And if you're doing your own thing, the devil has control of your life. Many of you may not like that, but that's absolutely true. He doesn't have to have you out here raping and plundering and doing bad things. Just do your own things. Live in your own strength and your own power. And that'll suit the devil just fine, because you'll never accomplish the supernatural things that God has for you as long as you're doing it in your own strength and power. And you got to come to the end of yourself and let God start living through you. Amen. And the good news is He wants this more than you want it. And so will you cooperate? I go back to what I said this morning. How long are you going to sit there until you die? Are you wanting to be at the same place next year? If you want to grow, if you want to see things happen, all you got to do is just get up and start moving in that direction. And I promise you, if you'll take a step towards the Lord, He'll take two towards you. The Lord wants to bless you, and He's not upset with anybody in here. But He has more for us than what any of us have experienced. You know, I've seen God do wonderful things in my life, but He's just constantly stretching me. My vision is bigger today than it's ever been. Billy, last year, I think it was, or year before, he said that if you somehow or another you could just tap God out and do everything that He had for you, and you exhausted all God's power, God would just get bigger. You'll never max God out. You need to constantly be growing and receiving. And so I'm encouraging you tonight that we need to stand up and we need to go to pursuing the things of God. And if we seek, we will find. If you knock, it'll be opened unto you. It will come. But you're the one that makes the decision. You have to crawl up on the altar and make yourself a living sacrifice, and then the fire of God will fall. But you're the one that has to crawl up on the altar. You have to be willing to make that sacrifice. Amen? Amen. So we've already talked about that tonight. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just share these things. And Father, I believe that You are encouraging every one of us to reach out and to let You live through us. That the things that You've written in our book when we were still in our mother's womb, Father, we pray that every one of those things come to pass. That, Father, we don't leave anything undone. We have a desire, Father, not to just do our own things and survive and go through life, but we want to find our full potential. And we want to fulfill it. And so right now, Father, I'm just leading my brothers in a prayer, and we're asking You, Father, to come and consume these sacrifices. Father, reveal Yourself to us. Reveal Your will to us, Your purpose for our life. Thank You, Jesus. Father, Your purpose for our families, those that have wives and children, that, Father, You would reveal that we would become what You want us to be. We'd make our life count. Thank You, Jesus. And I pray especially for those who feel like that they've just messed up so much that You could never use them. Father, I pray that You help them to get their eyes off of themselves, to take encouragement from Peter and the way that he was able to recover, and that You used him. Father, I pray that You would just encourage people, that, Father, You can change any person's life. You can deliver any person from whatever mess that they have made. Regardless of how badly they've destroyed things, Father, I just thank You that right now You're speaking to people and encouraging them in this. Thank You, Father. Praise God. And I believe that God's touching. There's some people in the area of finances. I know Billy was ministering on this today. But there are some of you that have just settled into a place that you think, well, this is just the level that I'm going to reach. I'll never go beyond this. And God is challenging you, some of you tonight, that you need to start believing bigger. If not for yourself, if you've got everything you need to be believing bigger so that you can bless other people, so that you can give to me and help other people build the kingdom of God. I believe that God is speaking to some people tonight about prosperity, that you've just settled into a place to where you are complacent. It's one thing to be content, but complacency is not good. We need to be seeking to establish his kingdom here on this earth. That's what Deuteronomy 8:18 says, that he gives us power to get wealth so that he can establish his kingdom here on this earth. You know, if some of you, if this is speaking to you, and if God is telling you specifically that you haven't been really stretching yourself and believing in this area of prosperity, and if he's quickened your heart, I'm not saying if you desire it, but you felt like God has quickened your heart. Right now, I just want you to stand right where you are, and I'm going to pray, and I believe that God is going to release an anointing in your life to start prospering. Now, again, everybody might say, oh, yeah, I want some more prosperity, but I'm talking about that God is speaking to you specifically about this. Father, right now, for all of these that are standing, Father, we just want to prosper so that we can help establish your kingdom here on this earth, not only to supply our needs and take care of our families, but Father, we want to prosper. We want to be a bigger giver. Like it says in Ephesians 4:28, that we labor so that we can have to give to him that needs. That Father, you make all grace abound towards us so that we always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. Father, we just agree and receive it, and we're wanting to see prosperity in our lives, in our families, so that we can be a bigger blessing. There are some of you that are standing that you, well, there's even some people that didn't stand, but you've got a gift of giving. That is a supernatural gift that God has given you, and you can't fulfill that ministry until you prosper. And you need to quit looking at prosperity as being something selfish just for you. No, it's so that you can fulfill the ministry that God's given you. God's raising up people so that you can prosper and have an abundance of finances to help people that are in the ministry, people that are doing other things. Right now, I just cast down that negative thinking, that poverty thinking, that spirit of mammon that Billy was talking about. And Father, right now, we release that. And I believe that there are people that are called to this ministry gift of giving, and that your anointing is coming on them so that they can fulfill that give, that ministry. Amen. Amen. Father, we just agree and receive it. I believe that right now God is giving creative ideas to people. There are some of you that have ideas that you just have not followed through on. God is resurrecting some of those desires, some of these things that you felt like God has called you to do, and you've let circumstances keep you from doing it. Man, God's speaking to you right now, and I believe that God is releasing this prosperity into your life. Thank you, Jesus. There's some people standing that Satan has stolen from you. I mean, it's not just a mistake that you've made. It's a demonic attack, and Satan stole from you. I believe it's Proverbs chapter 6, verse 22 that says, if you catch a thief, he has to restore sevenfold or give all of the substance of his house to repay. And so this is the devil that has ripped you off. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we are just claiming, we are commanding a sevenfold return on everything that has been stolen from people. Satan, we rebuke you and command you to right now give it back seven times, that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, and we command those finances to start coming unto these men that are putting first the kingdom of God. All of these things are being added unto them. Father, we agree and we receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Man. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Let me have all of you that need a healing in your body. I want you to stand, and we're going to pray for you. If you need a healing in your body, I want you to stand. Thank you, Jesus. There's no way I can lay hands on all of you, so I'm just going to pray a prayer, and I want you to receive. And again, believe that God wants you well more than you want it. And God is not holding healing back from any person. It's always God's will to heal. You know, I heard Curry Blake today. I listened to him and I really got blessed by this. He said the reason that the Bible says that if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. The reason it says you will recover instead of you will be healed is because God's already healed everybody. But not everybody has recovered. They haven't received it yet. And so he says that if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. But if he would have said, you lay hands on the sick and they will be healed, that means they weren't healed until you laid hands on them. No, you're already healed. You're already healed. You just need to recover. You need to take this healing that God has placed on the inside of you and you need to draw it out. And so by you standing right now, you are in agreement with me. And right now, Father, I just agree and pray with all of my brothers. And we believe that by the stripes of Jesus, we have already been healed. And Father, all sickness, all disease, all infirmity, all infections, all of these things, we just speak that they are defeated right now. And we command you, Satan, to let go of us, that we have already been healed, and now we lay hands on ourselves. We release the anointing of God and command the healing power of God to flow and to heal hearts, heal lungs, heal all of the internal things inside of people. There's people here with joint pain that, man, it's hard for you to bend and to do things. Here's the healing power of God right now flowing. Father, from the top of our heads down to the bottom of our feet, we just release this. There's somebody here that has lung cancer that the Lord just spoke to me personally about, and you've got cancer in your lungs. Right here is the healing power of God flowing towards you right now. You lay hands on your lungs, and right now, this is the anointing of God flowing through your body, and those lungs are clearing up. We command that cancer to be gone. We command tumors to be gone, all kinds of tumors, not only in the lungs, but just tumors in the body. We command those things to dissolve and to be gone. Thank you, Jesus. Man, here's an anointing of God for eyes, for ears. There's somebody here that's been suffering with arthritis. Right now I command arthritis to be gone, the pain to be gone. Father, we just receive healings, all of these things. Father, we thank you. I'd like to have our prayer ministers come down here. I know that God's healing many of you right where you are, but if you need anybody else to agree with you, feel free to come down here and let someone just agree and pray. But right wherever you are right now, I believe that the healing power of God is touching you. And Father, we receive these healings. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody's had problems with your bowels containing things. It could be irritable bowel syndrome or whatever, Crohn's disease, but here's the healing power of God right now. I believe that this anointing is flowing and that healings are happening in you. Thank you, Father. Amen. Boy, here's deafness. It's being healed. I'm assuming it's probably partial deafness or one ear, or you wouldn't know what I'm saying. But deafness is being healed right now in the name of Jesus. We command those ears to open up. We command ringing in the ears, this noise in the ears, the brain, whatever is causing this. We release healing right now. Your anointing and command that to stop for healing. There's somebody who's got a skin condition that you have little boils or anyway, rashes and things on your skin. Here's the healing power of God. We just speak to that skin and command it to be normal, to be healed. Father, we release your anointing to flow in this body and to heal whatever's wrong with this skin right now in Jesus' name. Praise God. Somebody's had a rash on the top of your head. I don't know exactly why or what that is, but here's the healing power of God that's healing this spot on the top of your head right now. Praise God. You know, if you have any of these things that I'm calling at, you need to do something. You need to say, that's me. You don't need to just stand there and let this go by. It's like the Lord is walking by and here's the healing power of God reaching out to you and you need to reach out and receive it. Do something. Come down here and tell somebody I'm healed and receive it, or do something. But don't just be passive. Father, we agree and we receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody here is already beginning to start dealing with symptoms of Alzheimer's. And you're aware that your memory is not the way that it should be. And it's caused fear on the inside of you. Right here is the healing power of God. And the scripture says that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so right now we reject that fear. And Father, we release this sound mind into this person right now in the name of Jesus and believe that this is over, that this fear is gone right now in Jesus' name. Praise God. Man, I believe all kinds of things are happening in here. There's some men here that are praying for your wife or your children back home. And you came here believing for them. They've got all of these things and you are really coming asking God to touch you so that you can in turn touch them. And this is an answer to your prayer right now. We send this anointing of God right now through these men that are interceding for people in their family. And Father, we send that anointing to touch them wherever they are, any place in the world. We pray that at this exact time that your anointing is touching them, that healing is coming to them. Somebody's been like in a wheelchair. It may not be confined to it all of the time, but somebody's having trouble walking and getting around and you were interceding for them. And right now, I believe that that anointing is touching them right where they are and that they are being delivered of whatever that is that has hindered them. Father, we release this right now in Jesus' name. Command them to get out of that wheelchair, to get up and move. Father, we release that power. Praise God. There's somebody that's praying for your child and your child's got developmental problems. Could be autism or all kinds of different things, but you've been praying and interceding. And right here is the healing power of God flowing through you. As the head of that family, we release the authority that you have over them. And we command that autism or any learning disabilities right now to be gone in Jesus' name. Satan, you take your hands off of them and let them go. And Father, we believe that your anointing is touching them right now and that they are coming back to normal. Thank you that this is done and broken. We agree and we receive it. Thank you, Jesus. And all kinds of feet problems are being healed right now. Anything that's wrong with your feet. Right here is a healing power of God. Man, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. You got beautiful feet, not decayed feet or infected feet. Amen. In the name of Jesus, Father, we just receive it. And all of these other things, anything else, Father, that we haven't called out, I believe that your healing power is flowing and touching people. And by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. We just agree and we receive that in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God.